Keep it simple, right?
Keep it simple.
This is in a Tarantino flick.
I was going to say, was Tarantino writing this?
Subliminal messages.
Maybe unnecessary.
Subliminal messages. Don't. Just don't.
Check out.
BM Squared, where B movies are the best movies.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Man,
that was so for me that you were even looking at me.
I was like, Brett's going to react.
We have to have it in every episode.
Every episode. It'll be there.
I'm even wearing it.
You are.
Yeah, you are.
And every time I wear the shirt, I get at least one person being like, dude, B movies really are the best
movies. They really are the best movies. Yeah. I need a redemption at that shirt, though.
Why?
I can't look at it anymore.
Why?
It bumps me out, man.
I love this thing.
I do too. I love everything about it except how small everything is.
Oh, you make it
doesn't
bigger?
Do anything small.
See, I love the shirt.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would change is maybe put our podcast name on it.
Well, we did that on purpose. Because you were like, it was our first year. Because we went to, it was maybe our year and a half on borderline 2 years, but we went to Halloweenapalooza. And that's why we got the shirts. We're like, we got to sell shirts. Yeah. Everybody has shirts.
Yeah.
But you're like, we don't have that big enough of a name yet. We got
to. So it was my.
I agreed with you. I agreed with you.
That sounds like a Brett thing to do.
It makes sense.
Talk the group out of it and then complain about it later.
Yeah, like, so guys, Brett. Dude, guys, why didn't we put a name on it? It was your idea.
Man, I agreed with you because. It's,
I don't know where we would slip it, but like maybe somewhere smaller,
like
something
on the back. Right. Like where the back.
I want to do a double sided shirt at some point.
I mean, I do agree with what I said. Nobody was gonna buy a shirt.
They're more likely to buy a shirt that says B movies are the best.
Will get by us, but I'll get logo shipping like maybe on the side or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe a side one on the sleeve.
Yeah,
and that might have been a budgetary thing at the time.
Oh, that probably would have been
because we paid per color. So and the. The logo has
one of my favorite things about it though is that it's like when you were in art class back when you were a kid, and you'd like they'd give you that little like black little like
the
like
scratch sheet thing,
and then you scratch it and it's like all different colors on the inside, you know what I mean?
Right. That's,
I love the colors because it looks just like that to me.
I was really happy they actually got the gradient. That was my, I wasn't sure if they could pull that off on a silk screen or not, but they did very well with it.
Yeah.
Very well.
I just need a redemption shot.
Did they move?
That shirt. They closed, I think.
Oh, they closed? Because
it's a State Farm now.
Wow. Well, yeah, I saw that.
And I was like,
Rora went there for insurance for a new Jeep.
Oh, did you? Nice.
Well, maybe that way it took so long to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were kind of slow.
They were a little slow.
I just figured they moved, but no, they shut down.
As far as I know, I don't know where else they would have moved to. Crazy. I guess there are tons of other places, but...
Cray, cray, cray.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 170 of Brett and Tony with Ash and Abe. I'm Abe.
I'm Brett.
I'm Tony.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Ashlyn.
Ashlyn out with COVID still.
Yep.
Ashlyn got COVID again.
Again. She got the double COVID.
It's compounding because she can't hang out with her friends.
Ugh.
Because she's got COVID.
She can't hang out with her friends to get better.
But she can't get better until she hangs out with her friends.
It's like a conundrum.
It's a conundrum. It's a catch 22.
Yep.
But real quick, before we jump in, I want to thank everybody for joining us here today. And if you haven't yet, make sure you check out our Facebook, our Instagram, our X, our YouTube, everything. It's all BTAABM2. We actually broke 200 subscribers on Facebook.
Oh, nice.
I was really happy about that.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Hi. And we have all of our questions there every week. There's at least two questions now every week. So get in on that.
Are you happy with that format?
I am. I'm going to work it in every Monday now. So every Monday there's a question and every Friday there's a question.
You know what? It was funny with how like boys night, Ashlyn came back and we figured out how to make the show longer.
That's right.
I say two fan segments.
Boom. That's how we do things.
Should we kick it off with the first one with get it the fuck out of your system. You okay,
Abe? I went too high.
He legitimately got out of his system.
I thought he was going to die.
I went too high in the throat, and it turned into an unhealthy scream.
Just seen the face.
It was. Oh, it was rough.
You never look at the face.
Always look at the face. So So who's kicking it off?
Tony is.
No, I want to kick it off. I want to know what you've watched.
Rhett's kicking it off.
Well, I decided to, because I like horror a lot. I listen to a lot of, and I read a lot of horror books. So I thought I'd kick it to something else. I am currently in the middle of a romance novel.
Oh.
Not a smut novel.
Not an actual
just
smut.
Like a...
Just romance.
Like Harlequin, Fabio on the cover kind of thing?
No. It's called Charm City Rocks. There's the cover. There's a vinyl
I could get into that.
That's cool.
It kind of reminds me of like an indie rom-com type thing.
Yeah.
That's gotcha.
Kind of the feel of it, and so far, and I set up about halfway through, and it's pretty good so far.
Nice.
Just a straight romance, two people falling in love.
Hey, right on.
Nothing better than that, right?
Oh man,
right.
I hope they die.
I hope not. But that's basically what I've. And then last week, oh god.
Did you see anything in the theater you want to talk about?
Oh, last week I read Ted Chiang.
Ted Chiang.
He's an author, and I read a thing of his shorts called Exhalation.
Okay.
Exhalation, right?
Yeah.
Exhalation, yeah. The act of breathing out. If we're mispronouncing it, it's like breathing out. Exhale.
I hope I'm not. It's a fun spelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
but there was a couple. I highly recommend this book to anybody out there because a couple of the shorts. It was like not like sci-fi, like in space with a lot of buttons like you hate, but it was like,
yeah,
it was like sci-fi ideas or like,
did he come out right out and say there's only like five buttons cockpit?
There's only five buttons in this cockpit.
I mean, I would be concerned with that. Look at the submarine. They only had like that many buttons. And look what happened to that.
Very true.
I need more buttons.
but anybody out there, and the last name, it's not just Chiang like you think of it. It is, Chiang.
Oh,
how that's spelled.
Chiang.
So, anybody out there that likes books, check this one out.
Nice.
Brett recommended. Yep.
You're not falling for the setup, by the way.
Nope. You didn't see anything else.
Tony's trying to set you up.
Yeah.
What else did you see?
Did I see?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember what I saw.
I mean, you didn't go see the movie theater or see anything?
Did I go to the movie theaters? I don't remember. Did I?
For fuck's sake.
he was ready for this, but he's not a...
You're not taking the
imaginary. Bag. Imaginary.
Oh, I did see Imaginary. That's right. Is that since we last recorded?
Well, we talked about it on podcast, and then you watched it afterwards.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. I fucking laugh so much, man. That movie was so good.
I still haven't watched it yet. I need to, but
well, get out your Kleenexes for tears from laughing.
Why? I need to know why was it funny? Were you high? Were you fucking high? How high were you?
Oh, I don't get high. I was a little drunk. I don't think the alcohol affected me at all.
Yeah. I think it did.
I think
there was LSD in this.
It was shortly after I got off work, so it's not like, you know what I mean.
You didn't have that much time to get wasted.
I thought it was funny. It wasn't so bad. It was okay. But you know how I'm saying it's good.
I haven't seen it.
I know, but
oh.
I'm saying it's funny.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie.
Right.
It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I thought it was so bad, it was good.
It was a wraparound.
Yeah, it wasn't like so bad that it was just bad,
no,
which I think Tony is thinking.
It was so bad it was bad.
Dude.
It, like every fucking trope in this movie... In whole movies,
uh-huh.
It's in this movie.
Okay.
Nothing original. Yeah. And like AI wrote this movie.
But yes, I agree. But any trope that they're throwing in there, it's like they, what's the word? They
purposely,
like, you see it coming.
Got you. They foreshadow it.
They foreshadow it so hard.
No. Okay. And then I gave this movie benefit of the doubt. Like, no, you're not going to do this. You know what? I'm going to trust you, movie. You're not going to do this. The obvious thing, Hill. And then they did the fucking obvious thing, and I was so fucking pissed off.
They told you they were going to do the obvious thing. You should have just trusted them.
When did they say that?
Like the... Are you talking about the twist at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could see that coming from a mile away.
I know, but I would like this movie better than that.
And you expected... See, that was your problem. You expected better of the movie.
I had no idea what the movie was.
I did not expect this.
I did not see a twiddle. I did not see a postal. I did not see anything. So I had no idea.
Coming from a third-party perspective, hearing both of you guys' arguments, I'm going to have to slide with Brett just a little bit, because I feel like if they go out of their way to throw all these the tropes in there, I'm going to expect the most obvious ending. I think you got your expectations too high with not wanting that ending so bad that you let that cloud
And they spent like 20 fucking minutes after this kid got stuck in the dream world. Uh-huh. And they did not even try. They fucking did not even try. Yeah. They had like a long, 20 fucking minutes of doing nothing. Yeah. And they're like, they knew how to get there. And then they did nothing. They went outside to look for the fucking kid when they knew where she went. And then they were like 15 more minutes of exposition. Like, yeah, I know. She's in now. Just fucking go in now. She's probably dead by now.
You all know that she's in there. We all know she's in there.
Why are you outside? You saw her disappear into the dream world. And then you go and look outside. And then you're like, oh, she went to a dream world. But you saw her going though. And you had the list. You had the fucking list. You took a picture of the list on how to get there. You fucking know how to get there. And now you're waiting 20 minutes. This movie should have been like an hour and 20 minutes, but like an hour and 45 minutes. And that after 25
minutes.
Honestly,
if they were trying to make this into a good one, it would have been like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like a good movie. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then, the old lady with the stupid book, and like, oh, it might be nice to be published. Yeah. You know, this is about a rock star and an author. Uh-huh. Get married, you know, two normal fucking jobs. Don't know. And then, her husband ditched the movie like I wish I did halfway through. Like, I'm going on tour, never come back.
Thank God, though, because he was the worst part of the movie.
Okay.
The dad was.
Yes, and you never see him sing. You're like, I'm going on tour.
And I even said it to Katie in the theater. I was like, because I was making fun of that dad the whole time.
Yeah, he was not good.
He tried to do a line reading. It was cracking me up.
Yeah, and that was the best take they got. That was the best fucking take.
And that's the best actor they can get. No offense to the guy or whatever.
Total offense. Come at me.
But I even said to Katie, like they're really just, they dropped the dad. Like, was his acting so bad halfway through the movie?
They were like,
he's a musician. Let's sit him on tour. We'd never have to see him for the rest of the fucking movie.
No, and I don't think they even.
He just bails halfway through the fucking movie.
Honestly, I don't think they mentioned he was a musician until he did.
He might be right.
That's awesome.
How could you not? I'm signing with so Brett funny.
More and more I hear about this movie.
I'm making this movie more entertaining than this.
You are. Dude, your argument is siding with me, Tony.
My argument is siding with you because how ridiculously dumb this movie is.
Yeah.
I'm not happy. I'm pulling. This is legit gripe I have with this fucking movie.
You need to watch it again as a comedy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the teddy bear. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
It was ridiculous.
Nice. I'm down. I'm watching it.
I can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah.
So you can report back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you keep track of if they mention he was a musician?
Yes, I will. I will try to keep track of that.
I want to know. Yeah. I need to know this now.
I probably won't watch it again.
I'm probably fucking gonna watch this fucking movie fucking again.
What about you, Tony?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
I saw Ghostbusters Frozen.
Okay.
Frozen and Bile.
I've heard a lot of mixed.
Well, if you know me, what do you think I land?
Whoa. Is it a movie?
Yeah. Is it like a franchise movie, deep into the franchise?
Yeah.
So you gave it a pretty low rating.
Yeah, I did.
Did you? Did you like the last one, the Afterlife, or whatever it's
right.
called?
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was good. This one, it was more. It was all over the place.
What was it?
It was less about. I didn't feel. It was kind of merging the two, Afterlife and like the original Ghostbusters a little bit more, and it did not work because there were like so many characters in this.
Yeah,
okay.
You couldn't like.
So it kind of turned into one of the like the bad Avengers movies.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Because there were like so many characters and like
trying to balance it all.
Balance it all out. They're like, I just want Ghostbusting in my Ghostbusters movie. I don't need a family drama.
Right. Yeah. Fair argument.
And did you see the? I don't know. Abe didn't. But did you see the last one?
Afterlife.
Yeah, the Afterlife.
Yeah. I mean,
I liked it a lot.
I liked it, but in this one, it didn't work because they went to New York City.
Yeah. They went off the farm in this one.
Yeah. They tried to make it like, and like, they tried to work on like, ooh, the Ghostbusters fire station is important because it's, Egon picked this place specifically because it's
like a hot beacon. Spot or something.
It was so dumb.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, and then I sided with the city, the mail, kind of.
Well, in the preview, he's like, that kid can't be a Ghostbuster.
No, that 15-year-old cannot be like you know.
Shooting guns.
No,
and
no,
shit.
Shooting guns and like popping out of a car driving.
Yeah.
That's recklessness. And I'm like, you know what? He has a point.
He has kind of a fucking point. Right. Yeah, but if you watch this as kids, we did the other ones, you know what I mean? At the time, you would have been like, fuck you, Mayor, you know?
Yeah, but the other one?
It's weird how time switches that,
right?
You know?
But watching it, the originals were more adult. We were watching it as an adult. Like, why did our parents let us watch that?
Yeah, but 80s, was pretty dark in kids' movies.
Yeah, and then they made a point, like, oh, I quit. Dan, I quit, like, because he was smoked in the originals. He's like, I quit in the 90s. And I'm like, I know, and I'm proud of you. Vomit.
Yeah.
I want my Ghostbusters smoking. It's un-American.
Un-American, that's right.
Any ghost BJs in this one?
No.
Zero?
Oh, damn.
Zero. Yeah, we had ghost BJs in the 80s.
I've heard about that, yeah.
I'm sure if you know one thing about Ghostbusters and never seen it, it's probably that.
That Slimer. I know the basic characters.
Oh, Slimer's in this.
I know the painting. That's the second one, though.
Actually, that's one.
I know Stay Puft.
That's one of the...
Stay Puft's the first one.
That's the end of things subplot is getting rid of Slimer. that's what they have been doing.
The Finn Wolfhard?
Finn Wolfhard.
He's in the new ones.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And I was could have been better.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed. I wish I could say I love movies again.
Yeah, you wish Hollywood would give you some movies to fucking love.
Yeah.
Right on.
Hey,
I got a list actually here.
Oh shit!
So I forgot to talk about one. I remember Brett, you talked about a demon movie that you watched.
Okay.
Something about demons that you heard on Attack of the Killer podcast.
Sure.
Okay. It might not be this one. I don't know. But
what's it called?
Dark Harvest.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
You saw that one?
Yeah. Because that was on Tad's list.
Was it really?
End of the year list. Yeah.
See, I'm so behind. I need to get caught up on that. But I came across that on Amazon, and I was like, I didn't read anything. I just clicked play. And I was like, oh, fuck, it's a demon movie.
Yeah.
And that movie is way better than I ever expected it to be.
It's a good director. I'm pretty sure that's 30 Days a Night.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I think he also did a Twilight, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
Really?
He liked the vampires.
David Slade?
Yeah, David Slade, right?
Yeah, I think
he did Eclipse.
Okay, yep. I was gonna say new
and movie. Hard Candy.
And Hard Candy. I think he started out on that one.
Damn, all right. But no, that was a lot of fun. I watched that.
Did you call it?
I mean,
did
the whole movie is
early?
Very callable.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
it's
everything.
It's still a good movie.
It's I don't know how they made it so, and like all the acting was cheesy as fuck.
Yeah.
But I was still like fully invested, like what's gonna happen. And
they do good with like, because it takes place in what, like the 50s?
Yes.
They do good with like all the set design, the cars, that, or the trucks and stuff like that.
The making world it look like that building. Time period.
And the world building.
Because yeah. it's takes place in our world, but it's like a whole different, like it yeah. feels like a side universe at the same time. It's fucking bizarre. I love it. A lot yeah. of fun.
I don't even feel like I'm that smart. Uh-huh. But like, dude, that movie, you oh. call the twist ending I like 20 it. Minutes into
it. Oh, 100%.
You know exactly what's going to happen yes. in the end.
You know who's...
But you're along for the journey.
You're,
and
yes.
that's what Imaginary needed.
Okay.
Right?
I didn't need a lot more.
It needed something...
All right, I'll give you that.
More. I'll give you that. Four fucking stars. What the fuck?
I had a great time with it, man.
And then he sent me an entire paragraph.
And that's all that matters, right? It's just that you're entertained.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And on an entertainment level, I'd probably put it about a four for yeah. that, for watching that.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Imagine me sitting in a movie theater by myself.
True.
I had nobody.
I had my wife to be like, oh my God, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, I had nobody and I was just getting angry.
Awesome. I also watched, I watched three movies. I believe all of these were on Shudder.
Okay.
All of them were pretty mediocre. Except the endings of every single one of them were fucking fantastic. It's okay. just getting there is a journey. Okay. I watched We Need to Do Something, which is Mike watched this one. I don't know if he talked about it on one of the episodes or not, okay. but it was weird. It was a weird like witch movie, but you don't know it's a witch movie.
Yeah.
So I'll say it's an apocalypse movie kind of thing where it's a family trapped in a bathroom and they have to survive. And they have to figure out what's going on outside the house.
Yeah.
The ending's fucking fantastic. Okay. It's rough getting there. You'll Never Find Me. That one was better. I liked it better than We Need to Do Something.
I almost clicked on that.
Yeah.
This what weekend.
You'll Never Find Me.
You'll Never okay. Find Me.
Yeah.
I may hold a beetle.
It's very weird because it's like it's in the middle of this storm.
Yeah.
And this girl knocks on this guy's cabin and you don't know which one's the bad guy, but you feel something's off the whole fucking movie. Like, yeah. you know, one of these people are shady as fuck. And then again, it's a little back and forth. And it's fun and everything, but the ending's what makes the movie.
Okay.
And then I watched Megalomaniac also on Shudder.
Okay.
That one, I feel like I would have given it a lot higher rating if it wasn't for the description on Shudder, because on Shudder they say it's a extreme violence kind of movie. So I'm expecting like the sadness or
good.
Something fucking brutal.
Yeah.
It's actually not that brutal.
Okay.
It's weird, but it's about a serial killer, the son of a serial killer who has to continue his father's legacy. It's about all they worded as on Shudder.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. Again, the ending is what makes the movie very mm-hmm. good. And then finally, I watched Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, yeah. I saw you wait this. I've been wanting to watch this.
Yes,
I saw your letterbox with, and fucking Abe saw this. I've been wanting to see that.
Ashlyn, she was looking for something to watch on Amazon and she came across. She was like, hey, it's this movie. And I'm like, I've been wanting to watch it. Let's watch it.
I've been wanting to watch it.
It was actually a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with that movie. John Cena, the more I watch him, the more I thought he was the biggest douche in his wrestling career. I knew about him was just the hand in front of the face thing. And that's it. I'm like, I hate this guy.
He's having the time of his life on Ricky Stenicki though.
He is.
Yeah.
And you
can't wait to watch it.
You can tell.
Oh my gosh.
But I liked, cause there's, it's the friends, right? The three friends.
Yeah.
Zac Efron.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the black guy.
Yep.
And then, there's the taller, like, not redhead, but almost ginger guy.
He's on a podcast with an Asian. What's that? Bobby Lee. The Asian Bobby Lee guy. They have a podcast
that
together.
That guy's annoying, though.
He's hilarious on the show. He just makes fun of Bobby the whole time. It's pretty great.
Well, him in the movie,
yeah.
He was the one that was cracking me up the most.
Yes.
Yeah. John Cena did great, and he was having a ball. But
right.
It was that taller friend that was – he kept getting me, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, he's great. It was a lot of fun. Loved the movie.
That was the movie that we were watching a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, Zac Efron used to be so much hotter.
Yep.
And then Katie was like, felt bad. He had surgery, dude.
Awesome. And that's it for what I watched.
Nice. Yeah, I almost clicked on that one, though, because it's got a cool little cover to it on
Shutter. It does. It's got a... Yeah. What is it? Oh, it's kind of like the side profile of the dude, and you see like the cabin in his head.
Yeah.
All blood rain and everything.
Instead, I watched First Night.
Okay. With Martin Lawrence?
With Richard Gere.
Okay. Yeah.
And Sean Connery.
What was the Martin Lawrence on, right?
I think that was Black Knight?
Black Knight, probably.
Was it actually Black Knight?
I felt racist saying it, but I'm pretty sure.
Was it really on the nose?
Was it Green? Was it Green Knight?
No, the Green Knight was the A24 movie.
Oh, I know that, but I felt like it was a...
No, I think it was Black Knight.
I mean, Martin Lawrence doesn't shy away from that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I thought it was not on the nose.
We also put out a feeler to all of our Facebook world of what they wanted to get the fuck out of their system.
Good fan ad with your system. No, I don't like that.
Yep. Let's see what we have here. I gotta find it all. Shit, I should have found all this way a long time ago.
I know you took
too many screenshots of fucking
Shining Trivia 270. Mitchell said,
Mitch,
he doesn't have anything, or I don't have anything to get off my chest. Just wanted to say that you guys your guys' podcast is awesome. I love your guys' back and forth. Keep up the great work.
Aww. Oh, fuck you, Mitchell. Thanks.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Thanks, Mitch.
What Black Knight? What the hell?
Yeah, Black Knight.
They didn't, he didn't care.
Probably my favorite non-Bad Boys Martin Lawrence, though, is Nothing to Lose. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah, Tim Robbins and the Coolio song?
Yeah, I loved that shit. And I had the soundtrack back when I was a kid.
It was a good soundtrack.
It was a good-ass soundtrack.
Yeah. See you when you get there.
If you ever get there.
If you ever get there.
I'll see you
when you get there.
Huh.
What, Abe? Don't ask.
Sounds
me.
Made up. I'm not gonna lie.
See? Don't ask like this is not a thing.
We also had.
Well, I mean, somebody had to make it.
Well,
up.
I know, but it sounds like you guys just made it up on the spot.
I said, yeah, what that Blue Streak?
That was Blue Streak. That was
that one wasn't too bad.
Was that the basketball one?
No, that's Blue Chips.
Blue Chips.
Blue Streak. That was without Martin Lawrence. Yeah. He's way too short to be a basketball movie.
He liked the color name because I think it was Blue Streak.
Yeah. That was the cop one.
Yeah, with
that's Dave
Chappelle.
Yep.
That was really good.
I like it. Spooky Horror Podcast.
Hey,
what up?
Speaking of which, before you get there, if you're in Burlington, Iowa this week.
Or surrounding areas.
Yeah. Come to the Capitol this Saturday, April 6th at 6?
Doors open at 6. Movies start at 7.
What are the movies?
Blood Car.
Blood Car.
Is the one I'm excited about. I haven't seen
Slashers.
It.
And Slashers.
And Slashers.
Yep.
You should come hang out. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be fucking watching WrestleMania like a man. You guys have fun.
Jesus.
Wow.
I'll be there.
How do you like to advertise? That was so sweet and wholesome. And then I took a call.
I like it. Spooky said, waiting until April 6th so I can see my friends from the Brits. Tony with Ash and Abe.
Oh, man.
To watch the movies.
I still saw this stuff. I had no idea about anything. My bad.
No worries. Yeah. You got to have the base ones.
Okay, and I think we're back.
Back.
That'd be funny if we lost an entire half an hour of that.
I apologize. That was my fault, guys. I gave you an SD card that only had 28 minutes on it.
Yep.
Hey, those were a great 28 minutes. And there's 28 more.
If you miss those 28 minutes, you guys are missing out.
You're missing out. Darren said he's been reading Christopher Poloni. Murgatau.
Oh, isn't that the guy that wrote Aragorn?
Yeah,
Aragorn.
The dragon books.
Yeah, the dragon books.
This was reading the continuation of that story.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. We're smart.
Which is very good so far, he says. He also said that he watched Avatar on Netflix. Also pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's blue good. People.
No, the anime version.
I know
version.
Which one he meant.
Okay. Oh, there's an anime version?
Yeah actually, originally it was on...
Anime. And then
Avatar. The Last Airbender.
And then it was... And then what's his face?
James Cameron had... James Cameron money.
You're talking about the... Okay.
Yeah. Avatar.
The Last Airbender stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Avatar came out before Avatar.
Yeah. And then Mr. Doug Vandiver.
Hey.
I love this one.
I sit on my porch watching life go by. You see, I'm a life coach, and I have an opinion on everything. And, well, I will tell you exactly what you're doing wrong. Then my wife tells me to keep my mouth shut, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Love it. Man, I'm really excited to get to that phase of my life when I can just sit on my porch and yell at people.
I've already done it.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Couple of years, probably like a year after moving here.
Okay.
So like 7 years
get
ago.
Get off my lawn.
There were some, kids that were playing hide and seek around the neighborhood. And some of them were trying to find, they were seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up in the yard and we were all sitting outside and I told them to get.
Get on out of here.
This is my yard.
Man.
Ain't nobody find here.
Man, I'm hoping, now I'm thinking what we could have missed.
And then they all made fun of me. Not like, them, but my family.
Like, oh, yeah.
I hope like a spooky plug. Good to know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to redo it.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. We'll just assume that it is.
It's a no.
So is that all we got?
That's all we got for get it the fuck out of your system.
Boom.
Thank you, fans.
Yes, thanks, you, everybody.
Ashley's going to be so happy we figured out how to make this segment even longer when she gets back.
So the movie?
The movie. Movie time.
Tonight, we are talking about the 1997 miniseries, The Shining.
That's
the one you guys watched, right?
Yep.
Yep.
No, I watched the 2002 bootleg one that they did underground.
Oh, I watched Dr. Sleep.
Oh, guys. I watched The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode. Yeah.
With Willie.
What was it, The Shining?
I don't remember Jack Nicholson being so yellow.
Nope, we watched 1980 Stanley Kubrick classic, The Shining. Starring Jack Nicholson. And what's her name? Shelley Duvall, right?
Shelley Duvall.
No relation, because I did get curious and I had to Google it.
Oh, they're
it.
Really not?
Her and Robert Duvall apparently are not related.
Really?
That's what I read.
What about Cleo Duvall? Cleo?
Whoa, the one from The Faculty?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then also, who's the other one? There's
Miss Cleo?
Not Cleo.
And
Cleo was the faculty lady's first name or person.
Yeah,
first
it was.
Name.
I know.
In Independence Day, there's also Cleo's a Duvall.
Isn't that the black?
Yeah, Miss Cleo.
I can read your fortune.
Yes. I can tell your future.
That's what my mind went to.
In Independence Day, there's also a Duvall, one of the sons, the older son with the long hair.
There's a lot more Duvalls than you think there's
going to be. Probably not all related.
None of them are related.
None of them know each other.
I'm sure one or two dipped in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Also, Katie watched it with me. And she's seen it before and everything. She was mind blown that the guy's first name, the black guy's first name in real life is Scatman.
Scatman.
Yeah.
Scatman.
Mick the Scatman. That's what the song is from. Mick the Scatman.
She was mind blown, dude.
That's not his legal, though, is it?
I think so.
I mean, I don't know.
I'll say birth name.
Yeah.
Birth name. He might have changed his name legally, but I doubt that's his birth name. I'm looking it up.
Isn't that song, though? The
Scatman.
I'm the Scatman.
Yeah.
So
ooh.
Right off the bat, I gotta say,
Abe,
the intro is probably the most iconic and amazing. I love the intro so much. Yeah. Just that long mountain shot.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, I found the answer.
What's the answer?
He was born Benjamin Shulman Quellos.
Sounds about right. That makes more sense.
That sucks.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm, I swear at one point in my life, there was a helicopter shadow.
Yeah.
I missed it this time. I wonder if they took it out.
Oh, I guess you could do that now, huh?
Cause like no, I always, was. I thought I always remembered that. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I finally get to see it and remember it. And then I'm like, a Stanley Kubrick movie with a shadow of a helicopter in it. He probably died watching it.
Like, but that was his biggest regret.
Yeah, right?
Because
I'm like, I don't see it. Where's the shadow? I know it's there.
Yeah. I mean, he's the notorious perfectionist.
OCD, yes.
Yep. Also, I learned that he had like his IQ was like 200 or just over or something
sounds
like
right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like apparently he was some kind of a fucking genius.
Yeah. I could see it.
Yeah. I watched some documentaries.
Oh, did you?
About not just the Room 237, but
I'm
actually
so
on.
So sorry. Did you see the Matrix cat? I saw it out of the corner of my eye. He just ran up the wall. You did the Trinity thing. That was awesome.
Yeah, he does that all.
Sorry. That was great.
He loves bouncing off walls, actually. He like kicks off of them.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about the intro though, and actually all Stanley Kubrick movies, is as OCD and like artistic eye and everything that he has, his text in literally every movie sucks donkey balls. Okay. I can't stand it. So you have this awesome scenic fly through, right?
Yeah.
And then you see The Shining scroll across the screen in Arial font, like that's bright blue. It's like, what the fuck am I looking? I know it's the 70s or 80s, but they figured that out with the Star Wars, and they made it look just fine. They figured out how to do cool text. What the hell is that, Kubrick? That pissed me off so much. And he does the same thing in Clockwork.
Yeah.
That this is plain font, and then the screen flashes different colors. I'm like, this is so boring.
I think I know why.
Okay.
Because every movie he did was an adaptation. He loved weed.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that's like, literally, because it's like all the same. So I'm guessing that's what he was thinking, because he liked to get, you know.
I mean, I hate to let it slide, but that's a good.
Hate to get in the mind all of Stanley Kubrick, but because he like read so many books.
Yeah.
And like he was adapted everything.
All right. I guess I have no option but to let it slide, but that I can't stand it. It drives me nuts.
Did you hear why the guy who wrote 2001 Space Odyssey was an actual scientist, and Stanley Kubrick made him write the book.
Really?
So he could adapt it for 2001.
Huh.
And this delayed the satellites being made, because this scientist had to stop to write a book.
For Stanley Kubrick.
God. Yeah, he was working on satellite technology.
I mean, he was really
and
like,
then he delayed all that.
That's hilarious.
For this 2001.
Sounds about right.
Huh. I believe it with him too.
100%.
Jesus.
I know very little about the man, but from the stories I've heard about this movie and some of the others, I could see it being true.
You hear about his Napoleon Project?
No.
He had files upon files of note cards for every day of Napoleon's life. He knew exactly what he was doing. Huh. Maybe this was one of the projects he never made.
Yeah.
Huh. Jeez Louise.
So if he said what he did on this day in his life, he had a note card for it.
That's insane. Where did he get the note cards?
The store.
Oh, so he made up.
Yeah.
Got you.
He did so much research.
Okay. So it is based on,
Napoleon actually did.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much information as he could.
Yeah,
find,
he went like everything.
Got you. Okay.
Books. He read so many books.
That makes more sense than what I was thinking. Okay.
You were overthinking it.
I was overthinking. I'm like, wait a minute. What the fuck you mean he could just tell you what he was doing on any given day?
I liked how you were like, where the fuck do you get those note cards?
They had note cards
like,
back then?
The store?
Yeah.
It was the same look you gave me a little bit ago.
What do you say? I don't know, man.
The note card store? Note
cards. They had those back then.
Like, it was handwritten, and the Stanley Kubrick exhibit in like Los Angeles has all these.
Huh. I'd actually like to see that exhibit. That'd be interesting as fuck. I'm down.
This movie, if anybody out there hasn't seen it, it's about Jack Nicholson's character moving his family up to take care of a hotel in the middle of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Over the wintertime, while it's closed down, he'll be the caretaker, and he goes insane.
Goes insane. Quick, and to the point.
And that's it.
That's the movie.
The movie.
Yeah. And
which is great, because it's such a like simple,
premise.
It is, but at the same time,
I like that it's so simple that like we can really like get into character work, I feel like.
I agree, but at the same time, I feel like I never noticed it actually the first like three or four watch throughs, but there is a lot more than just the insanity portion of it.
Yeah.
Because there's also the fact that it's on an Indian burial ground.
Yep.
There's also the ghost aspect because Grady killed his family there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which could play into the Indian,
It could. It could play into that. And then there's also the devil angle. I'll put it that way. Because the selling the soul, I never noticed that before. I'd sell my soul for a drink right now. And then all of a sudden, bam. Lloyd's there with a drink and everything. Yeah. And then he won't take his money.
And then, like, everybody knows. He knows everybody.
Yep. And then also, I didn't notice this until on either Reddit or Facebook, the iconic picture, the one at the end.
Yeah, July 4th.
No, it's not that. He's doing the Baphomet Met thing. Mm. The demon. I'll look it up and show you.
Huh. But yeah, with July 4th, whatever, 1921, I think that was like where people got like, ooh, Indians, okay, America, how we got America, revolution. 4th of July.
This. If I can get... I'm not on Wi-Fi.
That's did anybody see the original ending that Stanley Kubrick cut?
No.
Really? It played for like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it went on. They're like 6 months later.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Showed in theaters and Stanley did one a few times. He didn't like something and he actually cut it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it played in the theater.
Actually, I've heard that before because didn't all of the prints, like, he like ordered them all back or something?
Yeah.
So that he could cut it. Like, that motherfucker had some power.
What was the original?
They don't give filmmakers that kind of power anymore.
Well, for that reason.
Maybe
this guy stopped the International James Space Cameron? System.
Yeah, I know.
That's why.
But maybe James Cameron would have that kind of pull.
Right.
Maybe. And that's only because he's made like $4 billion for Disney.
Yeah. This is what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
He's doing that exact pose really? In the picture.
Okay. Jack is,
okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I did not know that.
I'll pull up the comparison of the two.
The trivia in this movie is so insane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Jack Nicholson does a great job in the movie. Obviously.
Amazing job. There's the comparison.
He is. The kid this time kind of like, I don't know.
The kid every time for me.
Yeah.
Other than I like it when he's him, when he's the kid, he does great.
Yeah.
And then I like it when
something about that kid just bugs me.
When he's doing red, it's his hair.
Is it the hair?
It's the hair for me.
I don't know.
It's his helmet hair.
It's like every time I'm like, who's saying my name, man? I'm not in your mouth.
See, when he's regular and then when he's doing Red Rum are the only two times when I find him tolerable. I find him especially annoying when he's doing his Shining with Scatman Crothers and he's like...
Yeah, doing his fucking weird.
That annoyed me so much.
Yeah,
over the top. But yeah. I mean, he's a kid. What do
it
you
never.
Do?
I don't know. He never really bugged me until this viewing. I've seen it a couple times throughout the year.
Yeah,
throughout the years.
Oh yeah, that was another thing that was added in the Shining. Though I know that's like the whole basis of the title and everything.
Yeah,
I didn't like the telekinesis aspect of it either.
Which is the whole,
which is the whole, I mean, it's the driver for the whole plot. Cause that's what gets Scatman there and everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I could have done without that.
Really? Did you hear about, I mean, okay. I know the whole story about Stanley Kubrick and Stephen King who originally wrote the novel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like Stephen King, when he sold the rights, he wrote the screenplay and like he was thinking, okay, so I wrote the screenplay for you. And then Stanley Kubrick, like, oh, thank you. And he had one phone conversation that the last he overhauled. And then
then
he just went on and like, you know
Stephen
what?
Stephen King hated this movie.
Yeah.
I came across a interview.
I've read the book back when I was younger.
Yeah.
And this is better.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm not even like, you're a Stanley Kubrick stan.
Yeah.
I'm not even like, I respect his
skill.
But I'm not like, because you are.
Because, you know, I He picked up the theme of the book, and this, you know, he picked up everything he needed to from the book.
Well, and I think he put in, I mean, you don't have like all of the different angles and yeah. and people talking about all of the different, like, was it an Indian burial ground? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or was it just some fucking ghosts? Was it demons?
Yeah.
I feel like Stanley Kubrick really like.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you have to in this, because Stephen King's book is.
He took the book and improved it.
Simplified.
He simplified it, but he kept it.
Yeah. See, I've never read the book, but.
Okay. I mean, there was a whole, like, the maze comes alive. It's a whole. Yeah, you can't even do it.
Gotcha.
But I like how he included it. It, like, he did it in his own way that it was alive, you know, in a way.
I felt like that's actually one of my favorite shots of the whole movie. Yeah. It's that overshot of the maze. Yeah. Loved it.
And, like, I like that scene because it shows Danny learning how to do, you know, save his life. And learning how to, like, he knew that. That's how he knew how to maze. And I think that shot was, like, needed.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's how he knew.
Yeah.
And, like, Danny, Jack Nicholson was not there to learn.
No. All he had was the overview of the little cutout.
The actual overview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ha.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I feel like I interrupted you.
You did, but I don't remember what I was saying.
Oh.
So.
Dang it.
I don't know if that it matters.
Okay.
I don't remember. It'll come up, I'm sure.
Would you guys be able to do a job like this if it wasn't a haunted, you know, haunted hotel? But would you be able to do the winter?
I don't know. And I picked up, he started on October 30th, so he was there on Halloween, basically, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking about that myself. I think even if it was haunted, I would do it because I don't believe in ghosts and shit.
Yeah.
And if
you would do it if it was like this hotel.
Yeah. If it was this hotel, I would do it because A, I don't believe in it. And B, I wouldn't go there with somebody though. Because I love...
You wouldn't bring Ashlyn?
No.
She would never go.
She would visit this place. Yeah. This place is off limits. But it's the... I love his logic for going there. Because I would that is totally something I would do. Is just go there over the week or over the... They say 5 months. It's longer than 5 months.
Yeah.
I counted it.
Gotta be.
They said it goes from October 30th until
May.
That's way more than 5 months. But anyway.
But you know what? This could be a thing because this hotel, he purposely set it up for it to not make sense.
Right.
Because like the office of like, I forget his name, the guy he interviewed him, Colonel Man or whatever.
Sure.
In the middle of the hotel, but there was a window.
Yeah.
And then outside.
Oh, gotcha.
And he made that path of the, like, when he was riding the, like, old tricycle. Like, he purposely made it zigzag, then made sure it would make sense if we watch it.
And
it makes no sense.
Right.
And he made that set just so you'd be, like, you know,
disorienting?
Disorientated.
Gotcha.
To add on to that, there was also apparently a shot in the movie where they're going from the maze across the street. They're crossing the street after during the interview part.
Yeah.
And in the shot, it looks like it's that there's a car just like about to hit them as they're crossing. And then it cuts to a different angle and the car's not even there.
Yeah.
And but the conversation keeps rolling.
Yeah.
Along.
There's a lot of shots like that, like doesn't add up, but you don't notice it.
And I noticed though this time, and I probably last time I watched, I wouldn't even know what it was, but the 180 rule.
Yeah, he points
in filmmaking. He breaks that in some of the conversations.
Yeah.
Wait, what's
especially
this rule?
When you're filmmaking, you're supposed to, like if me and Tony are talking.
Yeah.
There's a line that you're not supposed to cross.
Yeah, I mean, if like
in the like going back like, and forth like, between
like you say you're filming this one,
yeah,
you can't go behind them. You gotta like go this way and with one shot, and then this way.
Otherwise, when you cut it together in editing, it's gonna look like your characters basically are like looking in the same direction,
and
instead of looking at each other.
You're gonna notice the cut, but I didn't notice the cutness really.
I noticed it in, and I had to even rewind it. So I only saw it once technically, yeah. But in the movie, and it was when Jack Nicholson was talking to, the older, the caretaker from before, they're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they're having their conversation and it's like halfway through the conversation when the conversation like switches.
Yeah.
Like it was, it's kind of masterful. I got to give it to Stanley Kubrick. It was like perfectly placed and everything. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Huh. I mean, from what it sounds like to me is it sounds like happy coincidences.
That wouldn't have been.
No, not that. Not. I'm talking about like some of the other things. Like, I feel like, what were you saying about the car and the... That seems like a complete accident. Like they needed that shot. That doesn't make sense.
Stanley Kubrick wouldn't have. He would have had that whole thing closed, and that car only would have been moving if he wanted it to be
exactly.
Moving.
Yeah.
So I think that was completely intentional.
Yeah, like in the snowstorm when the red bug, the car is crashed. Mm-hmm. That was the book they had in the original, Shining. So he did that purposely to like, hey, this is my project. This is mine now. Mm-hmm. Because when Holloman was going, you could see the call that was in the book crashed in the snow.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So like, okay, it's my project now.
Gotcha.
It's not, I'm not, yeah. Huh. So whatever you think it's going to happen in the, from the book, it's
right. I like that. That's cool.
I saw some weird things in that room 237. Yeah, there was one that was, it was trying to make sense of the Indian.
Yeah. That one, plot. It's like very like, and, that's a, like,
and one of the things that they're pointing out in the movie was that, when, the little kid is in the, where the food is stored.
In the background.
The tins of like Calumet.
Calumet.
Yeah.
With the Indian on it, there's one can and just one can with no other cans of it, like behind him, and something gets mentioned about an Indian or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's a couple mentions.
And then apparently, and like it's perfectly faced and everything. And apparently that's supposed to let you know that it's that's what the whole movie is about.
Oh, gotcha.
It's because that one can of Calumet.
We haven't even covered like this was it's just like admitting that he did the moon landing too.
Did you say admitting it?
Yeah, because it's like
saw some people were this is a theory that, like
because he's the kid is wearing a Apollo 11 shirt.
Oh yeah. Gotcha.
That's how they came to that. Like he did the moon landing. Was he trying to tell us?
We watched a movie where Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, we did Moon.
Right? Was that called?
Yeah, Moon with what's his name? Rupert Grint.
Rupert Grint.
Yeah, he was in
and
that.
And Ron Perlman.
Moon landing.
Yeah.
I think it was just Moon.
Oh, was it? No, I thought
no.
It was,
Moon is
with Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell.
I think it was Moon landing.
Something.
Moon something.
I'll look into that.
We did. That was the old podcast.
But yeah, there's so much. Yeah, this movie.
Yeah, there's I don't know. It's like he took. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, he improved on
the book.
Also, we have to. I feel like we have to throw in there that like Stanley Kubrick walked so that people like David Fincher could run.
Yeah,
later on.
And I like to think,
you know what I mean? Because like I feel like he's taken the baton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of like OCD filmmakers.
And actually, might even put Christopher Nolan in that.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
I could see that. But I feel like
I forgot Nolan. He commands respect.
Yeah.
Just that and his like the way he writes his stuff is very. I find his writing more mind-bending than I would a Kubrick. I think as I picture a more visual guy, I don't find his stories as that big as opposed like visually it's big and it's beautiful. I love his way he shoots everything. But
I would, I don't know. Cause I feel like Kubrick is more like subtext.
Okay.
In stories.
Yeah.
Whereas Christopher Nolan, at least with Interstellar, I love Nolan.
Yeah, no,
I'm not trying to bash him.
I'm just saying. Like,
but I feel like Christopher Nolan more would be like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just going to make a whole bunch of shit up. That's right.
I'm
sorry.
The last
half hour of Interstellar still pisses me
off. Yeah, it does.
Doesn't not make any sense. You can't make it make sense.
The closest person we might have to Kubrick, it might be David Lynch.
Yeah.
Were we just saying Lynch? We were just talking about David Lynch.
Yeah, we were talking about because the argument of genius and just fucking around. Whether they truly, truly have a hidden meaning behind something, or is it just simply like, let them make sense out of this kind of situation?
Let them make sense out of this.
I mean, the argument could be made either way, and you could argue until you're blue in the face. You're never going to find out the answer.
I've done so much Kubrick, research. I did not do anything for this, ironically.
Yeah.
But like he once said, like I think in an interview, like or somebody from an interview I read, like he wanted to see if the biggest movie ever he could make was like two big stars having sex, and he just wanted to see if that could do box office. He never did that, but he that would be a good fun experiment.
Huh.
And the closest he got to was Eyes Wide Shut.
That's a
good
movie. I mean, he kind of did that. I forgot that was
Kubrick.
Yeah, that was the last movie.
Now you got me rethinking what my favorite one is.
Would that top it?
Huh?
Would that possibly take the top?
That one's up there. Because I forgot he did that, but originally it was Clockwork, because Clockwork is fucking...
You love that one.
Clockwork is amazing.
Yeah.
I like the book a little bit more, but it's a good movie.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Kubrick movie?
Okay.
Since I brought it up.
Okay. I mean, I think I might have to go Full Metal Jacket.
I liked that one.
I know people like, oh, two different movies, but you know.
The break felt too harsh for me. Really? I mean, I get it. I understand it.
I liked it. I love how it switches, because that's how it would feel for these boys in the shit like that. Like they would be like having fun with their friends and serious shit still happening in boot camp and stuff. Like obviously
Gomer.
But then going to war from boot camp.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that is such a switch.
And you know, when they sang Mickey Mouse, you know, and like, they still got the mentality of kids, like those little kids. And But yeah, Clockwork Orange have to be up there too. And Doctor Strange, so many.
I haven't seen that one.
What? Okay.
I haven't seen Lolita.
That was pretty good.
Spartacus.
An underrated one, The Killing. Really good. His one for film with New Orleans.
Okay.
I highly recommend The Killing.
That looks... Oh, no. I was going to say that looks like his shortest one, but it's not.
No. I would say that would be my favorite, but that would be so hipster.
Which one?
The Killing.
The Killing?
We're like, oh, mine is The Killing.
Eyes Wide Shut was fucking good, though. I had a lot of fun with that one.
I love that one.
Why you, Brett?
The Killing?
Is that...
that's no, why, I'm just joking.
I was going to say, that's why you got so quiet.
I'm kidding. I'm just fucking with you. No, actually, it's... and I think we all watched it together out of Kyle's, right? Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
I never saw that one.
I thought you were there.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought you were there, too. No.
Nope.
No.
You were there.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it.
That was the first time I'd heard about it for years, but that's probably my favorite and Kubrick one.
This is a Kubrick thing.
A crazy movie.
It's black and white, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he made sure everything was in color properly, like the table was green. He made sure it was perfect, knowing he was going to film in black and white. That's such a Kubrick thing.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying.
How anal.
Well, I mean, there is... Because they did this somewhat similar with The Lighthouse. Robert Eggers' The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Because I watched the behind the scenes on that, and they showed some of their stuff in not black and white, the things that they were wearing, and they don't look right, but it's...
It always looks weird, dude.
It does, but apparently it's just to get the right shade of black and white in the black and white movie.
And... and like Full Metal Jacket, it was filmed in England because he didn't like to travel after The Shining.
Yeah.
So he did all his work in England. And he flew in palm trees to make it look like Vietnam.
Jeez Louise. That just seems like a waste of money.
Yeah, but that's Kubrick.
If he can get away with it, by all means, whatever. Makes sense.
And you know how I'm just chilling my random Kubrick facts I have in my brain I never get to talk about? But in 2001, when he was making that,
yeah,
you know how he...
We didn't even say 2001.
Yeah. You know when he had like the classical music in that?
Yeah.
Like people moving... He had people moving stuff, and like he was like watching the dailies, listening to classical music, and he's like, "Wow, that's amazing! I love the music." And now that some move, like, and then standing like, "Huh, maybe I was thinking that he would score it himself, but then he was listening to this classical stuff." Yeah. And like,
gotcha.
Huh? Okay, I'm gonna use that. Thank you.
That kind of works.
So that because of that one random guy, like that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
2001 is a good one.
Yeah.
I enjoy that, but I don't know. I don't know. It's more of a one and done for me.
Yeah.
Clockwork just has that rewatchability. And I don't really factor that into my favorite movies, but so good.
I know. It's a Clockwork. It's
really Clockwork good. Is fucking poetry. I love it so much.
I just saw that he only made 13 movies.
Yeah.
13 full lengths.
Yep, Spartacus. That was a studio movie.
Never saw the Lyndon one, Barry Lyndon.
Barry Lyndon.
Yeah,
I think that was the one right before The Shining, right?
Yeah. You could tell he wanted to make a Napoleon movie, but he couldn't do it, so he made Barry Lyndon. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And like he got like cameras from NASA to film this, so he didn't need like so he could film like natural light.
Uh-huh.
So like all the because the camera he got could film a candle. It could film, like, he used natural lighting with candles because they didn't have lighting back then in the 1800s or whatever, 1700s when that took place. So he had to make a camera to make it.
He'd have a ball nowadays.
I know, right? With the IMAX.
That and all the, like, I wonder how much of the super high def, like, slow-mo he would use. I don't know.
Oh, man, I would love to see a Kubrick movie today.
Yeah?
Well.
I don't know if we could. I don't think the studios would put up with as much of a Kubrick these days.
They put up with Fincher, man.
They put up with Fincher. And
if you make them enough money, they don't give a fuck.
That's true.
Plus, but you have to make them enough money.
He had a brand name that like somebody going to give him money to do it.
And Kubrick was always... he was always making money on these.
I feel like... I hear less stories about nightmares, like shooting wise, with Fincher or with Lynch.
Yeah,
and he has a go to group of people that like are always game for it. Like in the Wes Anderson, that it just makes like the people that get him, and he's, I don't know of anybody who's a Kubrick go to. It's like, I feel like he burns his bridges way more than...
What was that
that's
guy?
Just what I've picked up from like what I've heard. I'm not going by any facts whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just based off of what I heard.
Oh, I mean, we didn't even talk about how he was... how
Shelley Duvall basically had a mental breakdown on set. And actually, another one, I don't know if I screenshot it or not, but Jack Nicholson said that basically... he was dating, what's her name? Angelica Houston while he was filming this. And apparently he had such long days on set, he would come home and go directly to bed and just like he would instantly fall asleep, just pass out in bed and then get up and go back because like they had such long shooting days. And Scatman Crothers, he actually had one where he had to do the same thing over and over. And then he went and worked on a Clint Eastwood movie.
Clint Eastwood is notorious for one and done. And
it actually brought him to tears. And he actually thanked Clint Eastwood for don't thank you for not making me do this over and over all day.
Oh, he won't repeat settles twice.
I forget.
Is that about the only one?
Yeah.
But, I forget who it was that said it, but somebody said that when they first did like their first take on a Clint Eastwood movie and they were like, can I get a second take? And then Clint Eastwood said something like, why, you want to waste everybody's time?
No. And Clint Eastwood gets on set at 9 a.m. and leaves at 5 p.m.
Yep. He's done.
He's an old man. His time is valuable.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going
to
say?
But Pete settled, he walked with twice, but and he like normally not doesn't like improv, but he loved Pete Head's improv, like in the movies.
Gotcha.
Like, he was in Doctor Strange level. What was the other one?
Lolita.
Okay.
But you're like, you can, you know what? You can improv. I enjoy it.
Huh.
That's weird.
That's strange.
That's high praise, actually.
Yeah.
Mr. OCD is like, no, you get a pass.
You can't.
You're the one thing I don't want any control of in life.
Yeah. No matter what I can come up with, you can probably beat it. So go ahead. That's crazy.
That's like the biggest plea you can get in life.
Yeah. From Kubrick, too.
What?
Wow.
He's probably the only person that he's ever said that about.
Interesting.
And that was The Shining from 1980. But wait, there's more. I think we got some trivia left still, right?
Yeah.
I think we did the whole thing with trivia.
We got a kill count this week.
We do.
Kind of. We will be right back.
Yeah.
After a word from the PFPN, Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to over 30 podcasts.
30.
That you need to fucking check out.
For real.
I like it spooky.
Like, I like it spooky.
I like it spooky.
Podcast.
Genre Exposure Podcast.
Yeah, Genre Exposure Podcast.
There's
Attack of the Killer Podcast.
Podcast.
Boom! So treat your ears and go visit them. Here's a promo song for them. Right
now. Everything we just did.
That was the best intro ever.
I thought I did pretty good.
You did great.
Off the cuff.
You did great.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal, providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks to PFPN.com. You guys are
awesome!
Podcast.
All right. Let's
podcast.
Let's hear this trivia.
I got a few.
Got.
This is actually probably one of my favorites.
Oh my God.
Danny Lloyd was so young while filming this, and it was his first acting job that he didn't even know what he was shooting. He didn't know it was a horror movie. He thought it was a drama. And in fact, it wasn't until he was 17, 11 years after he made the movie, that he actually saw the uncut version of the movie. That is fucking cool.
That's great.
And I didn't know. I mean, I guess I kind of did. I thought it was weird when I watched it. When Jack has his big breakdown, or he wakes up because I killed my family. I killed you. Why would you tell them that? The rule, if you have a dream that you killed your family, don't tell them.
Yeah, you keep it to yourself.
Yeah, you suppress that shit and move on.
Like the rest of us do.
But
grow the fuck up.
During that scene, when Wendy takes Danny out, she's carrying a life-size dummy of him.
Okay.
Which I thought it was awkward the way she was carrying. Like, that looks very weird. I don't know how she's doing that, but that makes sense now. But what else we got? We have, due to the film's cult following, it has been subject to many outlandish myths. One of the most famous myths is that to get Jack Nicholson in the right agitated mood, he was fed only cheese sandwiches for 2 weeks, he hates.
Actually, you know, I eat a lot of cheese sandwiches.
Do you really? It's like a grilled cheese?
I don't know. It doesn't specify. It's so weird. I don't know if that's true. It doesn't sound true. But whatever.
Jack Nicholson hates cheese, apparently.
Just wait until the trivia we're
going to
add.
Yeah, that sounds like trivia we would have said.
Right?
Jack Nicholson only ate cheese sandwiches for 2 weeks.
Does that mean I'm upset?
Got him so mad.
So there are 2,941 people who interacted with that trivia. How many people do you think found that interesting?
20?
2,901.
Wow.
Only 40 people didn't find it interesting. I'm one of those 40.
Interesting.
Huh? Man, just wait until I got all trivia written.
I'm excited to hear it. For the scene in which Jack breaks down the door to the bathroom, the props department built a door that could be easily broken. However, Jack Nicholson used to be a volunteer fire marshal and tore it apart far too easy. The props department was then forced to build a stronger door. I love that one.
We're going to need a stronger door.
I'm actually,
you know what surprised me the most about that?
Yeah.
Is that Stanley Kubrick wasn't like, no, it's got to be a real door.
It's got to be a real door.
It's got to be a real door. I want the authenticity. Yeah, it's got to be authentic.
And you know what? We make 40 of them. We're going to do 40 takes until he gets it right.
That's what I was just getting to is the fact that, so A, they made it too light and easy, and then they did so many takes. It took 3 days of shooting that one scene. They used 60 doors.
So
not only did they have to make stronger ones, they had to make 60 stronger ones. Love it. Let's see. Stanley Kubrick, known for his compulsiveness and numerous retakes, got the difficult shot of pouring blood from the elevators only 3 takes.
Okay.
Yeah. This would be unremarkable if it weren't for the fact that the shot took 9 days to set up.
Every time
the doors opened and poured blood out, Kubrick would say, "It doesn't look like blood."
Yeah.
In the end, the shot took approximately a year to get right, but they only filmed it 3 times.
Yep.
Love it.
Wow. And then and he had to figure out how to make it look cold.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, like outside, mm-hmm. he had to like, a little hint of fog, you know?
Oh.
He had to figure out, he spent like time to figure out how to make it look cold.
It wasn't actually cold?
No.
Oh. I guess they did right.
Yeah. Because it was like, it was not that cold, but they had to figure out how to make it look.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Crazy man.
And this was the last one I screenshotted. And this is, actually, I take back what I said earlier. This is my favorite. At the time of release, it was the policy of the MPAA to not allow the portrayal of blood in trailers. That would be approved for all audiences. In 1980, the concept of the green band and red band trailers were being introduced by the MPAA. Oh. Bizarrely, the trailer consists entirely of one shot of blood pouring out of the elevator. Stanley Kubrick had convinced the board the blood flooding out of the elevator was actually rusty water. Oh, also, the water had red dye in it.
Yeah. Man, Stanley Kubrick was insane.
I fucking love that. No, that's just rusty water.
It's just rusty water.
A little bit of red dye. It's fine.
Okay. Abe, are you ready for this?
Oh, this just in. We also found out that Stanley Kubrick learned how to fly a helicopter just so he could film the overhead shots himself.
Yeah.
That sounds legit. That's plausible.
Honestly, that sounds more plausible than some of the ones you read.
Jack Nicholson eating cheese every day.
Sandwiches.
No, ironically, Stanley Kubrick is afraid of flying.
Oh, is he really?
He was afraid, yep.
He got over his fear for this movie alone.
Yep.
And fun fact, too, in the movie, they'll never say they're twins, the two girls.
Yeah.
Those are sisters. A lot of people say
they actually
twins.
Say their ages. They're 8 and 6.
8 and 6 or something like that, but they look like
they
twins.
They look like twins, but like...
Katie pointed that out this time. Yeah. I hadn't noticed.
And
then
all of the whenever they do the dolls or toys, and it's always the Grady twins. Everywhere I see it's Grady
that's
twins.
That's what she was saying.
Yeah.
But that's not a thing.
And then maybe they say sisters.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I remembered what I was saying earlier and you interrupted me.
Is
when Tony was talking about Stephen King doing his screenplay thing.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon an interview with Stephen King and Letterman.
Yeah.
And he said his exact words were, "I think I gave Kubrick a grenade and he kindly fell on top of it for me," or something like that is how he phrased or... Basically, he was saying he gave him something fantastic and that would have made great waves and been so great, but Kubrick fell on took his life with it instead.
It's funny to me though because Like this, I mean, this movie is so highly regarded.
Highly.
Yeah.
Highly. Like this movie is, even if people haven't seen it, they know this movie. Oh, yeah. Like everybody knows this
movie.
If
you say Red like, Rum, everybody knows.
Even if you wrote the book and then Stanley Kubrick, of all people, probably one of the most famous filmmakers ever. And if not, top two.
Yeah.
You know, he makes your book into a movie. How do you, and it's universally considered a classic.
Yeah. Way higher than any other Stephen King adaptation.
Any other adaptation you've ever made.
This one has crossed all the boundaries.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess Shawshank.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like that's not as widely known.
I don't think that's as widely known as
Stephen King.
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
I think that would shock a lot of people. In fact, I guarantee you, if I jump on IMDb right now, that's probably one of the highest rated trivias. This is based on a Stephen King book.
Yeah.
I bet you.
Either way, though.
But like, no, I know what you're saying.
But yeah, like, how do you trash it? As
actually, ironically, the original reception. Crazy. They were nominated for Razzie Awards.
This was?
Yeah.
Really? For what?
Let me look.
Interesting.
I know Shelley Duvall.
Kubrick submitted all of those. he's up voting all night. Yeah. Like, this bitch made my life horrible.
Crazy.
But no, I agree with you 100%. I feel like Stephen King took it as a blast to his ego.
I think he took it as a blast to his ego too.
Stanley Kubrick was nominated for a Razzie for this.
Yeah,
he himself was.
Yeah, for Worst Director.
Oh shit!
That's how, and I think the probably worst movie will ever.
That's so weird.
Just to show you the perception of when this movie, like, people, the world was not ready when this movie came out.
Also, the Razzies. I mean, they gave Sandra Bullock for All About Steve a Razzie for that, and that movie's a fucking gem.
Well, there's also like.
Catwoman.
I'm not saying like, Halle Berry.
That was the time they got away.
She let me but she at the Razzies, she also
brought the Shining.
I'm getting there. They've never been mentioned in the same conversation.
Okay. At the Razzies, she actually brought her Oscar that she got. I don't know if it's all that. Either way, I mean, still, I'm just saying, like, because also, isn't Meryl Streep, didn't she win both a Razzie and an Oscar for the same exact thing?
No.
Wasn't?
I think somebody has before, maybe. But I forgot.
So that's what I'm saying. I Razzies are fun, but I don't think too much stock on them.
I'm just saying that's how poorly this movie was received.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Stephen King was butthurt and his ego is hurt because he offered up a screenplay and it didn't get chosen by the director.
Yeah, and it would not have been as good.
Also,
and
it like, was even asked for. It's not like, would you give me your input?
Also, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, just let Kubrick do his thing.
Yeah,
and you know, thing.
Like, just who cares?
And you know, Stanley Kubrick called Stephen King to talk to him, and he got what he wanted out of him.
Yeah.
So
that's like showing, you know.
I don't know.
I feel like he did, you know, him good by calling him and talking to him.
Right. If you, and don't get me wrong, I love this movie, and it's a classic to me from my younger years. But if you directed Maximum Overdrive, you can't give Stanley Kubrick any shit.
No, you can't.
Plus, I feel like, and it's ironic because in the same interview, Stephen King said this exact thing. He said that if he was in the best situation because. If it's well received and people love it, it's like, hey, that's based on my work. Yeah. If people hate it, he's like, oh, it was out of my control. He took over. So it's like, dude, you're in, like you said, you're in the best position.
Yeah,
let the fucking man work and then just take credit for it.
Yeah, he was cooking, man. Let him cook.
Let him cook, man. Yeah. Also, you already made your meal.
Yeah,
it's right.
Like, let him do his thing. Who gives a shit? Like, why would you want it to be that close to, I don't know.
Like, you gave him the ingredients to cook. And let him cook.
And then he got rid of some ingredients and added some.
He's a five-star chef. Let him do his thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Fine. I don't like it when the adaptations are too close.
No, because then what's
otherwise,
the point?
Like, I'll just read the fucking book.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Agreed.
Either way. Did you guys ever watch Dr. Sleep?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah.
I liked Dr. Sleep.
I did like, I really liked Michelle Pfeiffer? She's in that, right?
No.
Who was the lady at the end?
It might have been Michelle Pfeiffer. I don't think it was. Was it?
Talking about the...
The hat lady?
Yeah.
The hat lady?
I don't think that was Michelle Pfeiffer, was it?
No, that was the girl from Dune.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you guys. I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen it.
What's her name? Rebecca Ferguson, maybe? I think.
I'm on it.
She was cute.
But anyway, no, that was a good. I just typed in Dr. Slurp.
That's the porn version.
That's something else, guys.
Dr. Slurp.
Dr. Slurp.
MD.
Speaking of the kill count, the Hollow Man.
Yeah.
I loved how he spent the movie just going back. It showed shit he spent so much time showing his traveling shit to die right away.
Yeah, right off the bat.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It showed him all of that just to get that that snow cat up there.
Yeah.
So that they could escape.
And it was Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
I don't know who that
is. It did look like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Is it so kill count?
Well, two?
Two.
Two.
That's what I got.
That's what I got.
Yep.
That's what I got.
Yep.
Scatman, huh? And
Jack.
Jack.
It shows him frozen at the end.
Yep. Such an iconic horror movie, and only two deaths.
Two deaths.
Love it.
Yeah. Yep.
So does that mean it's ratings time?
Ratings time.
Who's kicking it off?
Abe's kicking it off.
I'm going to kick it off.
Yeah. All right. Or Ashlyn. She's not here. But I assume she gave you a rating.
Should we do Ashlyn, or should we wait for Ashlyn to final? But have Ashlyn in the final world.
Fuck it.
Okay. Ashlyn's. She said. This is a 5-star movie. It is classic as fuck and so, so good.
Throwing it down with the fiver.
5-star gauntlet.
Holy shit. Can
I go next?
Tony, go for it, buddy.
Sure.
So I should want to say, if you cannot tell, Stanley Kubrick is one of my favorite directors ever.
Yeah.
Not one of.
Yeah.
He is the
right? David Lynch and him are my two.
Oh, okay.
Top two.
It's hard to pick.
Yeah.
This is a 5-fucking-star movie. It's a fucking classic.
I anticipated that one. Brett, you want to go next?
Nah, you go ahead.
I'll go next. I've seen this movie I've probably watched this movie 7 times in my entire life.
Yeah.
And despite what I said about it, I do feel like there was too many supernatural aspects to it. I'm not a huge supernatural guy personally, but that being said, it's hard to deny that this movie is just sheer beauty and well shot, well filmed. The worst part of this whole movie is the setup to me, because it's so boring.
Yeah.
Other than that, this movie is a 5.
Oh, goddamn.
It's great. I mean, it's fucking phenomenal.
I don't like that kid, guys.
So that kid's...
that kid's knocking it down for me. Why did you guys all have to go a 5?
I dislike so many more things.
How is this not...
No, I feel bad not giving it a 5. I was going to give it a 4.5 because that fucking kid. I hate
the
kid.
The kid's barely in it,
He's barely fucking in it.
Now I'm going to feel like I have to give it a 5, though.
I mean, you don't have to give it a 5. Go with your heart. Go with your heart and soul. But Jesus I'm just Christ. Saying, that kid's barely in this movie.
Yeah.
And if you can't forgive that kid's horrible acting...
He's a kid actor.
I expect better from Stanley Kubrick than that kid in that fucking movie, though.
I don't know. Okay. Touche.
Okay.
I mean, you do you, buddy.
You do you.
But
everybody gave it a 5?
Dude, it's a fucking great
I figured
movie.
You, but I didn't figure Ashlyn.
Yeah, wow, she fucking loves
it. It's amazing.
Movie. When I told her...
I am shocked right now. This is not Bloody Machete.
Yesterday, I said...
Because of Brett.
I know. The one that likes movies.
What the fuck?
I know.
Yesterday, I told Ashlyn, I know you probably don't want to hear this right now, but we still got to watch the podcast movie. Because every Sunday we watch the movie, it's... Oh, fuck. We got to watch the movie. So we watch it early to get it over so she can enjoy the rest of her day.
Sure.
She's like, what are we watching? I'm like, The Shining. She's like, oh, okay. Okay.
Oh.
And she perked right up. She was excited to watch this movie. She's all for it.
Yeah. Bump me up to a 5. I gave Imaginary a 4.
I
fucking door. And I just laughed at it the whole time.
You know how upsetting that is to me right now?
I can't live with myself giving imaginary almost the same score I gave The Shining.
Like, I don't want to live in a world where the blame machine is not for The Shining.
I don't know.
Real quick.
Here's the thing. Okay, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, real quick, all peer pressure aside, your honest rating. I don't want this movie to be a false bloody machete. All right.
Honest rating?
Honest. Lay it out, man.
I was talking about before how you're like almost obsessive with Kubrick. I mean, obviously, this whole time, you just been spitting facts about facts. Kubrick, right?
Yeah no Kubrick research.
Facts. No, no research.
No research. No,
this is what I already
no
knew.
Notes. You're just, no notes.
You're just throwing shit out there. Yeah. And I told you before, I mean, I said earlier on in this conversation that I've never been like that. I respect him, but I've never, you know, held him as high as regard as you do. So like, I feel like when we went into the Shining episode to watch it and stuff like that, like, and that's why I watched Room 237.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I watched I was watching like Stanley Kubrick stuff on YouTube and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I feel like I was trying to like, cause I've always, I don't know, like everybody, like he's a master at his craft and stuff like that. So like, I feel like I started out like going into The Shining being like, well, I'm going to come up with some really good reasons why Stanley Kubrick isn't as amazing. And I'm going to like, me and Tony are going to, and you know what? I watched all this stuff and I respect the motherfucker even more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like I came around like to like full, like, I don't know.
Full metal not, jacket.
It's not that I didn't respect him or whatever. And but like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I tried to go at The Shining more critical and I ended up like liking it more or something, or liking Kubrick more, even though I already liked him, you know? So yeah, it's a 5.
It's a 5.
It impressed me again this time. I gotta give it to the movie.
First bloody machete.
I don't know, but fuck that kid though.
No, you're 100% right, and that's fine. It's always, you can have negatives in a 5.
Yeah, you can have
movie.
Negative in a 5.
Every movie has a negative. I don't give a fuck what it is.
You know what I hate about this movie?
What's that?
Shelley Duvall, actually, I
really?
At some points.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah. There's times when I'm like, dude, Jack.
Killer.
This is going to sound way worse than I mean it, but Jack, you're kind of justified.
Yeah.
Like, you I'm know? Not going to lie. If I would be a lot nicer about it, 100%, I would handle it differently. But if I was in the middle of typing about a book and she come in and she's like, what are you writing? Can I read it? How's it going? It's like, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna need a couple seconds. Just me alone.
Hey, I don't condone death in any situation.
No.
But bro, that bitch had it coming.
But bro, did it.
I'm in the middle of something right now.
Not the kid. Although fuck that kid too. I guess.
The kid's not had it coming.
You know what? You're right. I want Jack Nicholson's side on this movie.
He's
now.
The hero.
He's the hero of the story.
That damn Shelley Duvall is the villain.
Yeah,
dude.
That Danny, life.
That little 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Stay at 237. God damn it, Danny. You were told.
You were warned. Scatman warned you.
The Scatman. He's the Scatman.
Anything else from everybody?
Nah.
Nope.
Bloody machete. Well dissolved.
Well deserved bloody machete.
But y'all remember this next week or next movie.
You gotta convince me
that I gave this one a 5. Y'all remember it next time. On the next movie.
Hey, I'm never one to pressure you to change your story, your rating.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I did it myself.
You did it.
Fuck that kid though.
Yeah.
Fuck that kid.
Yeah. Okay, anything else before we head out?
If that kid had died, this movie would have been a 6 out of 5.
Oh, shit.
Fun show.
And a Shelley Duvall, 7.
A 7 out of 5.
I actually liked Shelley Duvall. Yeah, she's a little annoying at some parts, but that's her character.
True. And I just feel so bad for her.
I do too.
I do too. But
I do too. She's just trying to make sure he's the happiest.
But at the same time, fuck him.
See, that's what I do. It's Ashlyn. She is just the biggest sweetheart ever. I'm just a fucking grumpy Gus, okay? So I get it. That's what I would do in like Jack Nicholson situation. You're interrupting me a little bit. It's not your fault. I'm just grumpy.
Yeah.
I can't take it out on you. It's exactly how he just needed to look at things. Shelley Duvall's a sweetheart.
And that was The Shining. That was 1980.
That was us talking about that shit. That was it for us, folks. Thanks for hitting that play button. Do yourself a favor and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Nice. Nice.
That was good. I've been holding that Stanley Kubrick knowledge in forever.
You just had to get it out. I'm surprised you didn't. You haven't picked Kubrick yet.
What?
I said, I'm surprised you never picked him before. Yeah. I guess you tried on the last one, didn't you?
Yeah.
On the last podcast.
Yeah.
But they took it off.
Yeah, they took it off Netflix.
Took it off Netflix.
Yeah, we will get it this one, won't we?
Yep. This was a last minute change.
Thanks, everybody.